We're in this new series. It's called At the Movies. Now, I am a movie junkie. Over there, I've said it. I've confessed it. I love movies. And I don't just love movies for the escapism aspect. You know, you hear a lot of people that they say they love going to the movies because they love to just escape for a while and to put reality behind them and look at this big, large screen and believe that that is reality. I don't necessarily get into that, although I do like some of that. But I like movies because I think that just like music, you can take a small in a short amount of time, say so much. Movies are a great portal to explaining maybe even somebody's life story. Here's a great example, the movie Unbroken. How many of you have seen the movie Unbroken? It's the story of Louis Zamperini. Incredible story. And they took this man's life and they broke it down into 2 hours. In fact, they couldn't do enough in 2 hours that there's a new one that's coming out this year that's going to be a continuation of his story and other parts of his story that we didn't see in the movie Unbroken. But this is a great example of great story that communicates a powerful message. In fact, you can see a lot of symbolism of Christ in the movie Unbroken. Because sometimes if we actually look at the world Christocentrically, now, well, that sounds like a fancy word. What does that mean? Simply, the word Christocentric means to look at it through the lens of Christ. What would happen if we looked at our world through the lens of Christ? How would you treat the person that you're driving next to if you looked at them through the lens of Christ? How would you treat maybe something that's happening in our nation or the commentaries that we're hearing from all over the world about world events? And how would you view those if you looked at them through the lens of Christ? Well, sometimes we can do that with movies. Now, I'm not up here advocating that every movie you can do that with, because you can't. There's some really great movies out there, and there's some really terrible movies that are out there. And so you need to be careful. But I love that even a clip from a movie can be a significant at telling an incredible and compelling story. Now, we're going to have fun. Do you guys want to have fun?
Yeah.
You came to church to have fun, right? You're like, yes, came to church to have fun. That's what I thought about this morning when I woke up. I'm going to go to church and have fun. Right, so we're going to have fun. So this is what I love to do. I'm not going to put them necessarily on the spot, Dan Coughlin, but we enjoy being able to try to stump each other with movie lines, right? So now the movie lines that I'm going to show for you today are ones that you'll probably get pretty easily, and there's actually for kids, there's some in there for you. So here's our first movie line. Let's check this out. Ready? I'm going to make him an offer that he can't refuse. Godfather, right? Godfather. That's right. Now, what about one of my favorites? We're going to need a bigger boat.
Jaws,
that's right. Actually, Jaws, the original 1974 version, is my favorite movie of all time. It is my favorite movie of all time. I love Jaws. In fact, I love the fact that you don't even see the main character until halfway through the movie. You realize this, right? The main character doesn't even show up until 52% of the movie has already been shown. Well, that was because they had technical difficulties and they couldn't get the thing out earlier, but still, the anticipation, the suspense, the dialogue, all those things, we're going to need a bigger boat. I mean, that's such great, great stuff right there. So that's Jaws. Okay, so what about this one? I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz. Very good. Wizard of Oz. And now this one's an easy one. May the Force be with you. Yes, there we go. There we go. Star Wars. Now, let's all just realize that the average age of the person who just yelled that out was maybe a third of the average age of the room. Let's also point out the fact that they weren't even a glimmer or a gleam in their parents' eye when that movie first came out. But we know that line, may the Force be with you. Now, here's another one for you, and I'll be curious to see who gets this and how you get this. There's a snake in my boot.
Toy Story.
Very good. Toy Story. It was Woody. Did I hear a Woody in the back? Awesome. Woody was the one who said that there's a snake in my boot. That's good. Toy Story. And then the last one, which is another great movie, Roads. Where we're going, we don't need roads. Very good. Back to the Future. That may or may not have been an 80s movie, Cindy. May or may not have been. 1985 movie totally switched the paradigm of even of storytelling within movies with this movie called Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox. Now, what I'd like to do for us today is look at a very short clip from this great movie.
You made it!
Yeah!
Welcome to my latest experiment. This is a big one, the one I've been waiting for all my life.
Well, it's a DeLorean, right?
Stay with me, Marty. All your questions will be answered. Roll tape.
Okay, I will
proceed.
Doc, is that a Devo?
Never mind that now. Never mind that now. Not now.
All right, I'm ready.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing on the parking lot at Twin Pines Mall. It's Saturday morning, October 26, 1985.
1:18 a.m.
And this is temporal experiment number one.
Come on, honey. Hey, boy, get in there.
Atta boy.
In here you go. Sit down.
Put
your seatbelt on. That's it.
Whoa. Okay.
Please note that Einstein's clock is in precise synchronization with my control watch. Got it?
Right, checked on.
Good. Have a good trip, Einstein. Watch ahead.
Get that thing hooked up to the car.
Watch this.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
A great clip. Now, I don't understand all the premises of the space and time continuum, but I can tell you that there's actually some funny things in the movie. In fact, they call the mall area the Twin Pines Mall, but if you remember when Marty goes back in time, he destroys a pine tree when he lands in 1955, and then when they go back to this scene, it's actually now Lone Pines Mall. Did you ever notice that? See, little things that they put in there because details are important to a great story. And I want you to think about this going back in time. I mean, we might not understand the whole space-time continuum, but one thing that we could all say is, I think, pretty cool is there's a time machine, right? The time machine disappears when it gets to 88 miles per hour and it goes back in time. When it comes back, it's like it never even left. It's amazing to think about this going back to the future. Now, I want you to kind of wrap your heads around this. If you're going back to the future, that can only mean one thing. You're in the past. Think about that. If you're going to go back to the future, it means where are you at that point? You are in the past. Think about the possibilities of going back in time. Where would you go? Who would you meet? In fact, you know what? I want you to just lean over to your neighbor right now and tell them one person that if you could go back in time, you would love to meet. Just tell them. Who is that person? Who would you love to meet? Wow, you guys are very quiet. So who is it? Who is that person? For me, it's Abraham Lincoln. I know. If I was very religious, I would say Jesus. But I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. So I would love to go see Abraham Lincoln. I would love to sit down with him after the Gettysburg Address. I would love to pick his brain and talk about how do you lead a nation the way that he led a nation and how much he leaned on God in order for wisdom and discernment for that. Now, here's a question for you. Would you change anything? If you could go back into your past, would you change anything? And if so, what would you change? Now, I get it. There are parts of your past that you would never want to go back and relive. I get that. I mean, and I agree. There are definitely parts of my past I would never want to go back and to relive. I mean, just think about all the mistakes. All the mistakes that you would want to avoid. Maybe that's one thing that I would go back and I would say, you know, maybe if I knew my younger self, I would say, hey, you know, you might want to stay away from this, or you might want to avoid this. Right? I mean, think about the mistakes. My dad actually has always said that I was the best mistake he ever made. I never quite understood what that meant, but I was like, thanks, Dad. So are there things that you would change? I mean, I definitely think that there are things that I would want to change. I think for sure. See, we all have a past. It's how we got here to the present. But even more than that, we all have something in our past that we want to get over, and it might be hard. I can remember actually in seventh grade, I was in my English class with Mrs. Crowers. Now, I don't remember if I've shared this publicly or where I've shared this, so if you've heard this, this is just a good recap story. If you've never heard this story, you're welcome. I'm sitting in English class, and we're kind of in the round, or, you know, we're sitting at desks across from each other, and I guess in seventh grade, we had a hard time reading to ourselves, so we had to, like, read a paragraph each and go around, you know what I'm talking about. My English teacher is sitting right here. Well, my friend Matt is across from me, and it's my turn to read, so I start reading my paragraph, and Matt begins to lean his foot underneath the desk, and he starts rubbing my leg. He's just trying to get a reaction out of me, you know, to hear if I'm going to stumble or if I'll, you know, say something or, you know, whatever. But he's just trying to, you know, get me. And so I thought it was kind of funny. So when it was Matt's turn to read, I leaned over and I started rubbing his leg. And I'm rubbing his leg and he's not having any problem reading while I'm rubbing his leg. I'm like, wow, this guy's really good. So what do? I start rubbing harder. And so I'm rubbing his leg, and I'm trying to get any type of response out of him, like just, I mean, even a pause, like, or something, you know, that would cause him to know that I've got your number, right? Nothing. So after the class gets over, he's standing up, and we're walking towards the door, and I'm like, dude, I was like, how in the world did you keep a straight face? I was like, I was rubbing your leg so hard, and you didn't even skip a beat. When all of a sudden this small voice from behind me, which was my seventh grade English teacher, said, because that was my leg. And at that point, you just want to melt. And then you start thinking to yourself, what have I done? So I go to science class. I walk into science class and everybody's talking about what just happened. My English teacher pulls my science teacher out into the hallway. Now, this is an important fact to the story because my science teacher was married to my English teacher. So we are dissecting fetal pigs, and we're sitting there, and we get our trays out and everything, and our, you know, little tiny baby pigs are there, And all of a sudden, my science teacher comes back in with this surgical knife, and he jams it into the little tar paper thing, whatever, and he says, so I hear, Mr. Sprangerberg, we need to have a chat, you know, and I was like, yeah. But that is something I would gladly go back and change. We've all heard the phrase, if I knew then what I know now. Thanks, Kenny Rogers. But if I knew then what I know now, I would have never taken my shoe off. I would have kept my shoe on. I'm just kidding, I didn't take my shoe off. But think about the past of the people even in the Bible. Think about their past. Now, I'm not just talking about the fact that they are in the past. I'm talking about specifically their past. Many of these have gotten hero status. I mean, what do you have to do to get hero status in the Bible? I mean, kill somebody? Kill Christians? Get drunk after building a large boat? Maybe it's killing an Egyptian? That seems to get hero status in the Bible. But now think about this. Think about the past of the people I just mentioned. Jacob was a deceiver. He wasn't a nice guy. He was a deceiver. Joseph was a cocky, self-righteous brother. Moses, like I said, he killed a guy. David had an affair. Jonah went the complete opposite direction of God. Now, that'll get you hero status in the Bible. Because God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, yep, I'm on my way. Jonah, no, that's not the way to Nineveh. Oh, I know, I got this. He goes the complete opposite way. Yet we look at Jonah as a hero of the Bible. The Apostle Paul, like I said earlier, killed Christians and enjoyed it. That was his number one role. He actually got permission from the leaders, the political leaders of the time, to have the right to go and to kill Christians. That's the Apostle Paul. And then look at the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter denied Jesus to his face 3 times. And we hold Peter in a high regard. Now, how is that possible? I mean, really, think about that. How is that possible? Because anybody now in today's age, if they were to do any of these things, we would be like, oh, you know, I need to stay away. We would hold it over them. But yet, all those stories are in their past. Now, here's a question. Do you think that they would change anything? Do you think that they would want to go back and, like, even Peter would want to say, man, I'm going to go back and I'm not going to deny Jesus? Or do you think Moses would have gone back and goes, you know what, this time I am not going to kill the Egyptian, right? Because you have to ask yourself, what if they did? What if they did and they went back and they changed some of those things? Well, Jacob, if he would have stopped the nation of Israel from even being in existence. Joseph would not have been a servant in Potiphar's house, which means there would have been no accusation from Potiphar's wife. He wouldn't have gone to prison. He wouldn't have interpreted the dream. He wouldn't have then interpreted the dream of the king. And then he wouldn't have become the second in command of the entire land of Egypt. And then, on top of that, he wouldn't have saved his family, the nation of Israel, from starvation. He wouldn't have moved them up to the land of Egypt in order to save what we then would be later called the nation of Israel. Now think about Moses. He wouldn't have ran, right? He never would have met his wife. He never would have had an encounter with God through the burning bush. He actually would never have gone back to Egypt and when going back to Egypt, freeing the people that God had set out for him to free. His people, again, the nation of Israel. David would never have become king. He never would have built Jerusalem. He never would have built the temple. Well, he didn't build the temple. His son did, but it was the legacy that David left to his son. None of that would have existed if David would have changed what had happened in his past. Jonah. Now, Jonah's implications were pretty huge because out of all of these things, you know, Jonah was totally okay with not doing what God told him to do. But if we think about it, if he would have continued on that journey, no matter how many fish would have spit him out onto the land, If he would have continued to say, no, I'm out. You have to remember that Nineveh, the place that God was sending him, was doomed for destruction. God was going to smote them. Smote, right? That's a great English word. It means no longer exist. Smote. He was going to smote them. You need to use that in your everyday language now. Just find a way to use the word smote in the next week, and then let me know how you did it. They wouldn't have gotten a warning, because that's what Jonah did. They wouldn't have gotten the warning, and then that means that Nineveh never would have repented, and that means that God would have never changed his mind. Because you have to remember, in that whole situation, whole scenario, it was because of their act of repentance that God changed his mind. He was going to destroy Nineveh. Now, he wasn't going to destroy Nineveh because they had repented. Why did they repent? Because Jonah showed up and told them that they needed to repent. The Apostle Paul, there wouldn't have been any missionary journeys. The church as we know it today would look radically different. The early church would not have been set up the way it was. We would be missing right now a third of the New Testament if Paul did his own thing, if he would have changed the way God had used his story. This would all look completely different. The Apostle Peter. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm sure that Peter would have loved to have gone back and would have loved to have changed that interaction, that moment when he denied Jesus three times. But if he did, he never would have experienced the unconditional love of a Savior who forgave him three times. To experience that grace and that forgiveness, he never would have experienced that. That's how important that moment was in Peter's life. Now let me ask the question again. Do you think that they would have changed anything? I think that they would have wanted and had the desire to change things, but I think in the end we all need to be thankful that they didn't. I want us to help answer one question today. There's only one question I want us to help answer, or I want to help you answer. How do we get over our past? How do we get past our past? Now, I want you to turn to a scripture that we're going to use today, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it's on page 884 of the Pew Bible in front of you. And again, we want to make sure that you know this, that those Pew Bibles are gifts from us to you. We love seeing God's word go from this place, so please make sure that if you need a Bible or if you know somebody who needs a Bible, take that with you. This morning, but we're on page 884, it's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Now, as you guys are turning there, I want to make sure you know this, but do you realize that Paul wrote more letters to the church in Corinth than any other church in the New Testament? The church in Corinth needed a lot of Paul's attention, and do you know why? It's because the church was messed up. I mean, this church was so messed up that people were getting drunk on communion. Now listen, if you're getting drunk on communion, that deserves a letter. And people writing, and the leader of the church writing saying, y'all need to get your act together, right? Think about that. But why was the church messed up? Well, the church was messed up because it was filled with people. That's why the church was messed up. In fact, I would rather have a messed up church filled with people than a presumably perfect church that nobody goes to. I'd rather have a place that was messy because it was filled with people that were all trying to do the same thing. In fact, you know, think about it. The church would have to be empty if you were going to get to the place where you'd say that it runs or it is perfect, right? I've heard people say that the church is filled with hypocrites. And I always say, no. We've got room for more. Right? Like, no, the church isn't filled with hypocrites. We've got room for more. You can come. Right? Because it's true. The church is filled with messy people. It's filled with messy people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is Paul speaking to a group of people that were really trying, but they kept kind of falling on their face. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Thank you for the amen, Chris. That's an amen moment. I kind of paused because I was just waiting. I'm like, come on, come on. It's an amen moment. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who says, in Christ, you are a new creation? The old is literally gone. You know that word anyone in the Greek, right? It's right there. It says, this means that anyone. Do you know what that word means in the Greek? It means anyone. That's what it means. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become this a little bit better version of the person that they were before Christ. Is that what it says? No. You are no longer the Coke of, you know, your existence. You're now the Diet Coke, right? You're a little bit better. No. That's not what it says. It says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. 2.0. Not 1.5. In fact, it doesn't say that I'm so thankful that Jesus got a hold of me and made me a better person. It literally says, thank you for Jesus because I was dead and now I'm alive. That's what this passage of scripture says to us. So what does this have to do about dealing with our past? Our past is something that haunts us. So how do we get over it? The one thing that you need to do is allow your past to die. Because the truth is, if you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. Is anybody else here this morning? Anybody else feeling that this morning? That if you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. In fact, there's a difference between history and destiny. I almost said density, because if you've seen the movie, You Are My Density, right? But I thought that might get confusing. Why is he saying density? Why does he do that voice when he's talking about, anyway. So there's a difference between history and destiny. The truth is, if you keep living in your history, then you'll never fulfill your destiny. If you keep living in your history, it will hold you back, and it will make sure that you never get to the point of living out your destiny. I backed into my garage a couple of months ago. No, like literally, I backed into my garage. And I tore up the light, and you could see the scratches, and there's a nice little dent there as well. And it was bad. And I was really angry, and I was upset. I was nervous because now we have to try to figure out how to pay for this thing. And I did attempt to try to fix it. So, not bad, right? Not bad. This was before I got the new taillight, and there's still a dent there that you can't see, but I got a guy. So the taillight, my father-in-law does paintless dent repair. That was the joke. So the taillight, though, is the original taillight that I literally painstakingly put back together piece by piece until I had the opportunity to buy a new taillight to replace that one. But what do you think happened every time I walked out of my garage, or every time I walked out of the parking lot, or every time I came out of the grocery store and I happened to be on that side of the building? What do you think happened? Instantly, I am reminded that I have a hard time backing into the garage. No, I actually have an easy time backing into the garage, but I just mean literally parking my car. I was reminded all the time that you're really terrible at this. Look at what you did. It's a reminder, a constant reminder of something that happened in my past that wanted to keep reminding me and informing my present And especially making a difference in my future, because now, how often do you think I back into my garage now? No, I just don't. I don't even know what happened. There's a story somewhere with that, and I don't remember what it was. My wife will probably tell you later. But I now pull in every time because of this, because of what happened. It's exactly the way Satan works in your life. Satan constantly wants to remind you of your past mistakes. Satan doesn't want you to trust God with your past. Could you imagine if you trusted God with your past to redeem your past, what that would do to your future? Could you imagine if you said, you know what, God, I know that I've messed up, but I'm going to give it to you because I believe that you could do more with it than I can do on my own. Satan doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to put your trust in God. He doesn't want to allow God to redeem your past. You know what he does want? He wants to look at the scars. He wants you to see the brokenness all the time. And he wants the brokenness to stand as the reminder of how broken you really are. Satan says to live in your history. That's where he wants you to live. He wants you to constantly live in your history. He wants you to live in your past. But you know where Jesus says? Jesus says, live out your destiny. Jesus doesn't look at the past and say, live out in this. Jesus says, boldly move to the future because I have a destiny for you. That if you trust me and you walk with me, you'll be able to accomplish far more than if you just kept living in your past. What if Paul only lived in his history? He never would have fulfilled his destiny. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. This is a great verse to help us to understand why Paul is communicating an important message. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not yet achieved it, or I've not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing." Everyone say one thing. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Say that with me. Forgetting the past. Say it again. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us to. He's not calling for you to simply be a better person. He's calling for you to be a new creation. He isn't calling us to just run from our past. He's calling us to sprint towards our future. There's a difference. If a lion is chasing me, I'm going to run faster because I don't want the lion to eat me. Now, if I look at the difference between a lion chasing me and I see my future, I don't really care about the lion because I know that what God has for me in the future is far greater and could defeat the lion in seconds. So there's a difference in running away from something versus running towards something. So I want you to think about that this morning. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Paul had a ton to forget. He had a ton to forget. But he says, I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. So for you this morning, I want us to end by processing this together. There is a song that the band played, and they actually played it last week as well at the end of the service, and I want them to come and play that again, is Jesus, What a Savior. You know, there's a line to that song that I think is really important for us because it says that he loves us where we are because you love me where I am. That's who Jesus is in our story. That's who Jesus is in our life. He wants to redeem that brokenness, that the scars that you see don't have to be reminders of how terrible you are, but instead can serve as reminders of how incredible God is. that his redemption of your story and your life is far greater and more important than the power of the past. I want us to think about, for some of us, it's time to go back to the future. It's time for you to go back to the future, which means if you're going back to the future, you are in the past. I'll just tell you straight out, Satan would love for you to live there. But Jesus wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue you into your future, towards something, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, pressing on. It's time to stop living in the past and start allowing yourself to look forward to what lies ahead. What he has for you is far greater than anything that will hold you back in your past. Your past does not need to define you. It doesn't. If Jesus defined us based on our past, there'd be no hope. But I stand before you conveying a message of incredible hope. Maybe you're here this morning and you've said to yourself, you know what? I've got stuff that I've never dealt with in my past. I've got hurts that I've never really have allowed Jesus to have access to. Maybe this morning it's just access. You just need to give God access to your story. Maybe this morning you're crying out and you're saying, I want to fulfill my destiny, but I got to stop living in my history. Don't run from your past. Instead, run towards the future. Don't run from your past. Instead, run towards your future.